WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen's jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
it's
moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
This is Ben Davis. We're coming.
Welcome back to the 33rd season of Inside Ben Davis Football. I'm Brody West, joined with Russ Mann and John Easter. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well.
Yeah. He threw it at us both.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yep. Yeah. I'm doing great.
Yeah. Alumni Day is coming up.
It's Tuesday night. Yeah, Alumni Day on Saturday for WBDG.
I saw that lineup. That looks like quite the lineup.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Always fun. It's a long day, but it's a fun day. So hopefully get more WBDG staff members here. Brody West.
I'll be here.
Okay. All right. You heard it. It's recorded, too. So there you go.
I'll be here probably later in the night.
He doesn't want to do the early bird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He probably has
He doesn't
work.
Even know who's coming in first, does
there
he?
There you go.
Yeah. Got to work.
Yeah. Legendary Christy Lee.
Yeah. He doesn't even know who Bobby Tom is, does he?
Yeah.
I'm only 18. How's it going today, Coach?
Not bad. Solid practice today. Two in a row. Pretty excited. Yeah. Yesterday was a unique day. Our JV and freshman both had the games. And I talk about this with my family. In the first 20 years of coaching, I can only remember two games being played on Saturday for myself. Now, so it depends on where your games were in the state. There are some games in the Central. I know one time I was coaching a game at Bloomington South, and the storms blew in Central Indiana. And I think the Giants had a Terre Haute team.
Yeah. I remember that game.
And the storms were projected that year to go in the bottom third of the state. But I was like, oh, we're going to have to go back to Bloomington twice. But we got our game in, and then everybody had to play in Central Indiana. But
out of the goodness of their heart, they made Ben Davis come back down at 10 a.m. the next morning to finish the game.
That's what I was afraid with Bloomington.
Terre Haute going down there.
Yeah, for us, we were in Bloomington, and I was afraid that we were going to have to do that. They were going to do 10 a.m. I was like, oh, this is going to be miserable. But we got our game in. And in my first 20 years of coaching, two lightning delays in my first 20 years of coaching. That's it. And I think one game was started late. That's it. And then there's been two Saturday games so far and then one delay. So, hey.
Yeah, I don't remember. You know, I've been this my 26th year here. And in my years, I think we had a Saturday game when there was a tornado went through the south side. And Center Grove that game got moved to Saturday because of that.
There's a Pike game here that had to
the
do
Pike,
that.
Yep, the Pike game. That was so weird, you know, the last minute. But we're glad they played the last minute because Ben Davis came back and won. The Warren game, which you were probably a part of, 6-3. Were you
I was
there?
Not. I was at
You're
OC.
Not there. You're still at Yep. 6-3 game. Ben Davis won it on a 50-yard field goal by Sterling Stedham. And it was unfortunately, our play-by-play announcer called it just short.
No.
And then you hear the color commentator go, that's good, that's good. It was great. So it turned into a good call. And I'm probably forgetting one because there were two that year that you're referring to with the Terre Haute. It wasn't an Avon game. That's one that got delayed. That was a few years back. Yeah, that's pretty much all I can think of. I mean, this year's been weird.
Yeah. It calls for a pretty a unique day in our program where our JV played a Monday night game, and I know a lot of them were actually really excited about it and even talked about it even more today. Just like that's a different, playing underneath the lights is, you know, even though it started at 6:30, but it's this late in the season, so it was underneath the lights. And then it gave us a unique situation with just our varsity and some of the varsity coaches, and we knocked down a pretty solid practice. A lot of it was intimate because it's just us on the field, and then did some of the things that we do that are separate, but we did it all as a team yesterday. And then had a pretty good meeting from 6 to 7 with a lot of great conversation that was needed. But it was needed to be with the environment that we had, too. It was just a great day for the program.
You got stung by a bee?
Yeah, that and the leg is a little warm today. I don't understand. I didn't think I was allergic to them, but, man, this is a – yeah.
Something.
Yeah, pretty red.
I'm going to take you to the game, back to the game on Saturday. The running game for Ellen was, clicking 180 yards on the ground. It was, a game where it felt like one team was clicking and the other wasn't at times. What do you take us through what you're thinking about when you see, the difference in momentum in that game?
I think the team that would have started off, I saw it and envisioned it. The team that started off with that 14-0 lead was going to dramatically have a great chance of winning the game. And LN came out, and they were the ones that were able to jump on the 11 o'clock game. They had not had a moment like that yet this year. When we had our Avon delay, they were with Fort Wayne, so they did not. When we had our Warren Central hour delay, they called the game against Tech. So they were already up 35-0. It was on by 8-9 plays in the second quarter. So I thought we would be the ones that would handle an 11 o'clock start a little better. So I envisioned that we'd get the hotter start. But that's something that we're addressing. And it's our turn now to start with the 7-0, the 14-0, and come out of the lead. But they were clicking. And even when I felt when the momentum was there for the taking, they would rip off another play. Offense would get clicking, and we would have a pick six, and then you felt like it was about to turn, and they would rip off a big play or two. And that's one of the better, if not best, LN football teams seen in a while. The Omar Cooper, Donovan McCulley team was pretty good. And once we got in the about an hour of the game and just checking some area scores, and they both scored for IU on Saturday, so it was a heck of a day for the Wildcats. So you're right, that's something that it was uncharacteristic for the past few weeks, ripping off long runs like that, and those stung.
Here's what I'll say is I got to speak with Jamari Chambers.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking to me, and we were talking, and he said it didn't feel like the same team that they had against Warren, and it didn't feel like they were putting out the same. He was like, I didn't put out the same effort I needed to put out. So being able to address that as a team, as a player, especially one of those guys who's like that, really, really, he's a gravity on the team is what I would say. And so for him to say that and be like, yeah, we need to be better is something, you look at it and you're like, that's good. It's a good thing to know that.
That was part of the conversation yesterday. It was the, from about 6 to 7 o'clock, and we ate afterwards because some of the team meal that was still left there. So it was a pretty good conversation that hour. And some all nine coaches in the room spoke. And then at some point, nothing. I had only told or asked two of the coaches to have something kind of prepared, just kind of some guys that had graduated from here. And then everybody had something that was on their mind. And then four players spoke then, and when the things that they said that it was a good day for the Giants.
When you look at last year, obviously, such a magical year for the Giants, 13-1, you win the state championship, and then you get off to kind of the start you've gotten off to this year. What's that like emotionally, just from not only your perspective, but also the entire coaching staff and the players as well?
There's some guys on the staff that were brought in and began in the 2018 year, and they said that there are some similarities to the 2017 state championship team, who had had success in middle school, had success junior year. They didn't make as deep of a run junior year, but they were, everyone knew, and having to defend them on the other side. I even just brought up Johnny Adams' name just a second ago. Yeah. The speed that the whole offense had. That was do not blink. That was a very, very,
maybe the best offensive football team.
It was impressive.
Yeah.
You missed Johnny for just a you give them 18 inches, and that was a 70-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
And I look at that picture every day when we go to the locker room in the state game, and just him going across the line and against Penn, and it's like, yeah, man, Penn, you get that. That's what a lot of people saw that.
Yeah.
Then the following season, a pretty talented 2018 team. They said there was a lot of similarities where there was a lot of players that were just getting on the field for the first time, but they're not bad high school football players. They're learning some things. And one of the things that we have cleaned up and addressed were the drops at the beginning of the season, a lot of drop passes. Now that we're securing them, now we're laying it on the turf. Like things that we did not, that was not a weakness of said players, you know, as they were making plays in JV or making plays late in varsity games last year. And now the ball security drill that we were doing today, like really addressing some of the things that new weaknesses or flaws that we see. And we still got 3 more games to clean them up. But some of the things that the returning starters that spoke yesterday, some of the ones that had substantial playing time, they talked about how much they believe in the new teammates that they have on the field. They're like, yo, I don't think we're that far of a version of ourselves from last year. Now that at this point last year, we were 5-1 and we have the reverse record now, but there is a lot of still like the things that were said yesterday, that the belief, the talent, it just needs to get more experience on the field, like more experience. And you can't let up. And when you said something about the potential effort, like you can't at this level, there's not a play, there's not a team, there's not an opponent. You cannot, not one of the games is a JV level ever. It's, the talent's too good around here.
You know, you bring up that 2018 season, and somebody else brought that up with me too. 2014, the Giants won state. Next year, they were 6-5. So, kind of, you know, for Ben Davis, that's not a great year. You bring up 2018. There were a lot of things that went into that 2018 thing. You talked about the leadership factor. I think 54 seniors the year before. I mean,
2014 was senior heavy too.
Yeah, so you kind of talk about that. But I think one of the big factors is Jason Simmons was not in here until March. Correct. So, you know, Coach Kirshner leaves in December and heads over to Mount Vernon. And then you kind of had a period of time there where it was really just kind of, you know, just floating in the water. And so I think that was another part of it too, but that compounded. I mean, that season snowballed real fast.
Mm-hmm. If that's the first reference to Coach Simmons after a big day yesterday.
Yeah. Well, and while we bring up Coach Simmons, what's your reaction to that? Coach Simmons now the offensive coordinator of the Purdue Boilermakers.
When he brought me into the office and mentioned that he was had resigned that morning, and I couldn't have been any happier for it. One of the very first things I said to him was, you know, in about 6 years, I'm going to see you on my TV on a Saturday in a big-time college football game. And one of the first things I texted yesterday, I said 6 years as a – and I figured it would be – and I said as a big-time offense coordinator in the Big Ten or SEC, you're going to be calling one of these games, and they're going to pan up to you early in the first quarter, and I'm going to see – Coach is going to say Jason Simmons, offensive coordinator – and it's only a year and like 6 months, and he's already if we're going to make a Coach Simmons reference, we got to bring that up. He's the Boilermakers offense coordinator.
And, you know, you talk about Coach Simmons, and believe on somewhere in November. Yeah, that's Election Day, so it's somewhere
that's
in
be,
November.
Oh, it is the 15th maybe.
Right. Purdue plays in Penn State. They'll play Indiana later. But former Indiana head coach and former Ben Davis head coach, Tom Allen, is defensive coordinator at Penn State. So how about that? You know, two head coaches here, and Dick Dullahan also coached at Purdue under Jim Young. So talk about that. That's pretty cool.
Absolutely. That's a
cradle of coaches here.
And I
no pressure.
As I pieced it all together, I didn't realize you had put a tweet on it about it a lot earlier in the day, and I was like, talking about it with my wife when I got home from the JV game last night. I didn't piece all that together until about 10 o'clock, and I said, wait a minute, they're going to play Penn State. That's Coach Tom Allen. And I said something, put in our coaches group chat, and then as I was getting ready for bed, you had tweeted it 7 hours earlier.
And I will say this, too. I'm sorry, Brody, kind of taking over the show. it's your show, Brody. Jump in. But when you look at Coach Simmons and Coach Allen, there are a lot of similarities there as far as the kind of people they are. You know, Coach Simmons and Coach Allen both, especially, you know, I've not really talked to Jason much since he has left and started his coaching career, but I have talked to Tom when he was the head coach at IU and here in the hallways when he would come recruiting, and that is the same exact man that was the head coach of Ben Davis High School. He has not changed one bit. And I remember having a conversation with him back in 1999. Did you have to do the GCL classes?
Yes.
We had just been to one of those because I think he started here in 98. I started in 99. So we were over at the Ed Center, and we had just come out of this GCL class, which are these new classes that teachers or administrators or anyone that joins Wayne has to take. And we were standing in the parking lot, and he said that was one of his goals, to be a defensive coordinator in the Big Ten.
He's there.
Yeah, he got
and
it.
And he couldn't be any happier.
That's exactly what he wants.
Like, he's a heck of a defensive coordinator, and doing that is a little different than the administrative role that you have as a head coach, and so he is.
And by the way, those people that kind of denigrate his time at IU, he's the fifth winningest coach in IU history. So we'll throw that in there. I'm a little biased when it comes to Tom Allen. I want him.
Great man.
Yeah.
Both of them. Great man. Coach Simmons, great man.
Absolutely. Yeah. People will kind of derisively use LEO and all those things now, but it's like that's Tom Allen.
And every day.
That's Tom Allen.
Every practice, and every minute.
Every that's just who he is.
Every meeting, it doesn't matter. That's Tom Allen. You're exactly right. Coach Allen.
Never heard a curse word out of Tom Allen.
I guess he said H-E-L-L before the Tennessee game. And the players lost their mind. There's the bowl game, and I guess they were like, "He's like, let's go beat the heck out of them," and they just lost it.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about game this week up in Carmel. We will be right back.
All right, Brody will get to talk.
You got a history lesson.
Thanks to Chuck Bear of eXp Realty for his support. Chuck Bear with eXp Realty offers services such as an analysis of your home's value, a marketing plan, and knowledge of the market. Serving central Indiana counties, Chuck Bear of eXp Realty can be reached at 317-698-3339. Online at exprealty.com. Thank you again to Chuck Bear of eXp Realty for his support. Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor.
Welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football, as I'm here with Coach Russman, John Easter. I'm going to go a little broad here before we get into the nitty-gritty details of what's going to go on there. How necessary is a win this weekend?
One of the things that Coach Weiler mentioned in our meeting yesterday that I referenced in the first half of the show, it was the 2008 year. Coach Malone and Coach Weiler were seniors. He said that there were three losses in a row, and they were to Center Grove, Warren, and Lawrence North. The Lawrence North one was a massive upset. The Giants were not supposed to lose. They went up on the road to Carmel, who was ranked 11th in the nation at the time. This is the story that he told. And went up there and got a big win, and it was massive in turning around the season for him. So, I'd love to see history repeat themselves. I know Carmel's not ranked 11th in the nation right now, but I'll tell you that going up to play Carmel at Carmel is not easy. Playing Carmel, regardless, is not easy. Carmel is very difficult to score points on. And it doesn't matter if you see something early in the season, if you see a game of 45 against them or 42 or something like that. Coach John Hebert does a heck of a job on their defense side, and I think they're giving about 2.1 yards per carry on the ground. Going up there in the stadium that they have built now, new turf, new – I haven't even seen it yet, but I saw it on film and I saw it in a picture. The new end zone facility that they have, they've done a nice job of making it a beautiful stadium. So the environment that will be there, I know that the – students are heading into fall break, but I think a lot of those plans got canceled because of the storm that came through last week. So usually a pretty wild environment with the middle schoolers in the end zone, giving our guys a lot of crap before the game. It's awesome. I mean, they're some of them are fans, some of them are booing, but it's a great environment. They're right up there on the right on the back of the goal line, so or the back of the end zone. So unique environment and tough place to walk away with a win. And so this is a great challenge for us going up there, and it would hopefully have some similarities to the 2008 season.
Ben Davis Carmel, for me, that was the rivalry. When I was a student here at Ben Davis back in the 90s, it always seemed like Ben Davis and Carmel were battling it out somewhere, one and two. I think they had a sectional meeting one year where Carmel actually beat Ben Davis here.
At 11-9?
Yeah, something like that. That was a regional game a couple years ago. Great game. Came right down to the finish.
Carmel had to go to the South that year, 11-9.
Yep, that was a great one. And, I mean, just some great games over the years. There was a game when I was here as a student. Ben Davis, the national championship team, was ranked number one. Carmel was number two. The Giants just blasted him out of the stadium. But there were people standing around the fence. That's the fullest I've ever seen a Giants stadium. So when you talk about this rivalry and you talk about these two programs, the history, I mean, it's all over the Mick and the former Mick, the history and tradition of these programs. But Carmel, it's 25-25 when you look at this series. Neither team has ever, I mean, it's kind of like a heavyweight fight where, you know, it goes back and forth, but neither boxer's able to kind of get away from each other. So what makes this rivalry so good between Ben Davis and Carmel?
Well, there's a lot of similarities in the programs, too. I mean, they both took off. Carmel won the championships first, I believe.
Yeah, Dick Dullahan.
Correct.
The 70s.
In 78 was his first one there.
Yeah, I think he went, though, the year before that, in 77, and then
He won same year. Yeah. So a total of 8 for the coach. And then
64-12 up there, something ridiculous.
That was his record?
Yeah. Why do I remember that? I don't know.
That.
I can't remember what lessons. I had for dinner.
You get a lot of history lessons when you hear this. A lot of similarities. 10 championships for us, 9 championships for them. Not as many runner-up years for us, but a few runner-up years for them. They're able to make it through the championship. A lot of similarities being the first and second biggest schools. There's a lot of pride. A lot of people who live in Carmel like to have their kids go to Carmel. A lot of Ben Davis Giant graduates like to have their kids go to Ben Davis. They understand what the school did for them, and you start to see a lot of repeat names coming through. So that's you mentioned a heavyweight fight, and I can see a lot of that being the type of game that's going to be too.
Well, and then I always remember too, Mike Kirshner, when he was head coach, would talk about how some of the other schools that Ben Davis plays, there's like extra stuff and hits after the whistle, but he's like, there's none of that with Carmel. It's just hard hitting, physical football. That's what he always kind of talked about.
Yeah, I've experienced two of them so far, and that's basically in it. Last year or 2 years ago when we went up there, it was a dogfight. Like when you said a heavyweight fight, that's exactly how that game was 2 years ago. You looked up at the. That's one unique thing about their scoreboard. It's one of my favorites. I know people have.
You'll like this too.
The people have scoreboard with the video up there, and I saw Lawrence Norris last night as our JV game. And when there's a flag, it's all yellow with the word penalty. Center Grove's got video. Decatur, Warren, all of them. But Carmel's has the total yards.
Yeah.
The rush yards, the pass yards, and the total yards. And if you're a coordinator and you're going there, I mean, your whole—it's all up there. You better if you walk out with a number that's in, you know, below 300 as an offensive coordinator, you're going to be, you wanted. But 2 years ago when we're up there, it's just a few minutes ago in the second quarter, and both teams had a total of like 80 yards, and it was a heavyweight fight. And so we've prepped our offensive coordinator, who is actually, when he was on the Lafayette Jeff staff, he's like, oh yeah, I know that scoreboard. Like you see exactly your night, the whole effort is to date. I like that more than I do like the videos. I look up there the whole time.
Absolutely. Going into the game, Carmel is more of a mixed bag when it comes to offense. They like to run the ball. They also like to pass the ball. It's a very balanced offense. They have 191 attempts of passing, and then they have 170 rushing attempts. How do you tackle a team that but likes to both pass the ball and run the ball about equally?
Well, when you are getting this deeper into the year, you know, when we were prepping for Cathedral at the beginning of the year, we didn't know what their identity was going to be. They didn't have Danny O'Neill anymore. And they, on the tape that they showed against Franklin Central, that was about 1/10 of what they actually did against us in the game. Now there's a lot of things on tape. We know some of the things that they may that may make them run the ball more, and we may know some of the things that may cause them to pass the ball more. So you can kind of that's one thing that we can dictate as defensive coaches. We can kind of put them, hey, we might be better if they do this against us on this evening. So we give them some looks or some pictures or personnel that they're like, well, if they're going to do this where we walk them into kind of what we want, and hopefully put us ourselves into some positions to make plays. And that's not just what we do. There's a lot of things that some of the defense coordinators do in this area. There are some defenses that just do what they do and will align the exact same way every Friday night. And I know there's a lot of times that I've heard from the two offense coordinators for the past 2 years, Coach Small and Coach Campbell, that there are pictures that we prep for, but it's not the same thing that's a team that's going to do against us. So you got to kind of coach in the moment then. So for us, we feel like we're pretty comfortable with, you know, putting in the pictures that we want them to see and kind of the phase of the game that we want them to do more.
As you come into this game, we kind of talked about in the first half of the show, struggling, obviously, with the record this season at 1-5. How do you keep the team from really honing in on that and making that a negative? I mean, obviously, sometimes we deal with teens, they can get down on themselves or hearing their friends give them stuff for where they are. How do you keep the team from kind of internalizing that and thinking that it's hopeless? And because really everybody goes back to 0-0 after game 9. So,
well, that's one thing about Indiana football is that everybody's allowed in the playoffs. And I don't want to make reference to it, but there is a team that with 6 losses that I don't want to have the 6 losses, but there was a team that had 6 losses. I believe it's 2004 Northwood, 6 losses, and poured it on, ended up 9-6, beat Chittar in the state championship, 7-0. They beat Lures on their path. They beat, there's another team that was very impressive that they, on their path down to win the state championship. And that was the team that played before us in the state championship last year, played East Central right before we came on the field. But to answer the question, that was part of the meeting yesterday, because there are some things that, you know, that were uncharacteristic in the Lawrence North game, and in the emotion of the frustrations, like that was part of the part that was addressed, and it was addressed by some of the players. Like, look, and it was some of the starters just kind of talking about some of the newer players that are on the field on how it's done and how what's the expectation, what's the standard, and what happens if we do have a lead 10-7 and we go down 14-10. What's the reaction after that? What's it? Oh, we're down, go down 17-10 or 21-10. Like, how you handle yourself or compose yourself. I just mentioned the team afterward, like, yo, we've checked the box of being able to come back on somebody. Let's find how it is to put somebody away now. Let's do something different. Let's learn something, a new thing going into the playoffs. The challenge for our offense is let's put one of those drives together to start a game. Like Carmel, let's just say they touch back on the first one, depending on that. Wind's only 5 miles an hour on Friday night, but if touchback on the first one, let's put an 80-yard drive together. Let's set the tone of, jumping on somebody first. So let's check that box off and show that we can have a drive in mind and have some things that we want to do against somebody and get 3-4 first downs, punch it in, go up 7-0. It'd be nice to have that instead of going down 10-0 like we did against Warren, going down last week at the beginning of the game. So the talk yesterday was address some of the things that and potential frustrations.
So you did talk about what you wanted to do on offense. That's probably key to the game. Get out early, get out in front. Defensively, what is your key? What are your keys to the game?
Well, let's not get those explosives up. That's something that we really haven't done. There's some in the Center Grove game. Warren, we were able to eliminate that. Pike had one. They had two. Pike had two. One in the second drive. And then in the fourth quarter, they had one. Avon wasn't able to hit one until late second quarter against us. You give yourself a better chance of forcing more punts and just eliminating those explosive plays. So that was a dangerous LN team. And that they were able to find some space on the field and make some plays against us, and that's something that we need to eliminate. And they have some weapons on the offensive side of the ball, and they're starting to get comfortable. And the last 2 weeks, that I know they had a loss 2 weeks ago, but they were able to pass for a lot of yards and make sure that we take some of those weapons away.
Absolutely. Well, this has been another episode of Inside Ben Davis Football. You will see me and Jason Brown out at Carmel, as well as you will hear Coach Russman out at Carmel calling the plays. It's up at Carmel. It's going to be at 7 p.m. Make sure to show out, show support. Thank you guys so much for listening.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.